You know, we need two different aspects that are operating in our lives in order for us to walk in stability. Number one, we need to be girded by the energy of God, by the life of God that comes to us through our mind, the logical part of God. But then, just as importantly, we need the emotional and the feeling part of God. And combining the thought process working in logic and the intuitive part of our heart operating in the realm of feeling, the blend of those two aspects together help us to walk in fullness. In some points, we see that even from the beginning, God created man in his own image, male and female, both equally God, but different parts of his nature. We have, on the one aspect, we have the parts of God that are strictly logical in nature. Then on the other hand, we have the part of God that's emotional in nature. Both are real, both are different, and both need to work together. The reason I speak that right now, beloved children of God, is we're going into a book of the Bible called the Song of Songs, and what we find in the Song of Songs is the emotional part of God. In some sections of Scripture, for example, the book of Proverbs, we find the mind of God, we find the logic of God. In the book we're looking at today, we find the heart, the intuitive, and the relational, emotional part of God. And so this is one of my favorite books in the Bible. I really want to encourage you, go get the entire teaching online. But listen, as I continue now, I'm in chapter number 1, verse 4. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord abides forever. Father, right now I bless your children. I pray that you would impart to them that which you desire in Yeshua's name. Amen. The Shulamite bride, who is a shadow of the church, an example of how you and I should be to know God, she says to the Lord, "Draw me after you and let us run together." Her twofold purpose in life, to know Jesus, draw me to yourself, and to partner with him in his mission in life, she said, "Let us run together." I taught on that extensively last week. We're going to continue on now, and we're going to read this verse as he continues on in verse number 4. "The king has brought me into his chambers." So I'm going to take a second, and I just want to give a quick recap as to where we are to be able to put this section that we're focusing on, "The king has brought me into his chambers," into context. The Song of Songs is about how to have a relationship with God. In the Song of Songs, we trace the journey of the Shulamite bride who began with a hunger for God, which was followed by an initial experience. And then as we continue through the chapters in the Song of Songs, we find out what happens in her life in order to bring her to a place of maturity so she could walk in the power of God and in his fullness and know him all the time. So it started out with an initial experience that I'm calling the chamber experience. She had a heart for the Lord. Why did she have a heart for God? Because God was working in her life. That's why she said, "Draw me after you." This is why Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." She found herself longing after God, panting after God, and yet she realized in order for her to come, she needed him to supernaturally draw her. And so she said in verse 4, "Draw me to yourself, draw me after you." It was because of his working in her life that she had the impulse to want to come. She recognized the tension there. On the one hand, she recognized it was up to her to choose to come. She said, "I want to partner with you in life. I want to be with you. I want to do what you do. I want to be like you." She realized that she had a choice, that she desired him more than anything. She had a burning passion that came out of her own will. But she also realized that behind the scenes, she needed God, she needed Hashem to draw her. And so she said, "Draw me after you and let us partner together." And after she calls out to the Lord, pants to him, something happens. The Lord grants her request, and he comes to her. And she has an experience that's so secret, so private, that there's no words that can fully describe it. And we read about it in the second part of verse number 4. Let's read the Word of God together. "Draw me after you, and let us run together." And then the Lord answers, and look what she says. "The king has brought me into his chambers." Again, I like to call this a chamber experience. Many of you have had a situation like this. You've had an encounter like this at some point in your life. There was a point in your life that the Spirit of God came to you and you so knew that you were being surrounded by God's love. I mean, there was an episode in your life where you were supernaturally touched. Some of us can recall during our early days of salvation, it seemed like God was all around us. Some of us remember when we first came to know the Lord, it seemed like there were so many miracles going on in our life. We felt so close to God. We felt so connected. That's what happened to her. She's just beginning her journey. God had awakened her. He brought her to Himself, and then He brought her into His chamber. Have you ever had an experience like that? I just want to bless you right now. Father, these that are watching right now, thank you for those, Father God, that you've ministered to in such a way. You've made yourself known. You've touched them. They knew that it was you. And now, Father, I want to pray for those that may be watching me right now, and there's never been a time in their life where they knew that you touched them. Father, I ask you right now for these that are watching. They're crying in their heart. They're desperate, Father God, to have a touch from you. They want to know that you love them. Father, they want to feel you. They want something to happen in their life that they know, God, that you're alive, that you're real, that you love them. Father, I ask you to bring these that are reaching out to you right now and have never had an experience like this before into a chamber experience. Father God, like the bride here in the Song of Songs that said, the King has brought me into His chambers. Father, I ask you to bring us into your chambers. Kiss us with the kisses of your mouth as the Shulamite bride cried for, Father God, and help us to know that you're real. Help us to touch your love. Help us to know you in substance. Father, give us an experience that no one could ever take away from us, that, Father, we could never deny. We love you, Father God, and we call out to you like the Shulamite bride. Father, draw us to yourself. Let us partner with you in life. And Father, we're asking you now to bring us into your chamber in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. And so I want to continue, and I want to touch on this point now. The King has brought me into His chambers. Remember, this book, the Song of Songs, is a journey into divine love. And it traces our life as we go from being an infant or a babe in Messiah to the time that we become mature in Messiah. And our lives began as babes when somehow God kissed us. We knew He was real. He became alive to us. It seemed like all our prayers were being answered. It seemed like there was miracles going on in our life. We were emotionally touched. And then sometime after that, it seemed like we were no longer experiencing a feeling of His closeness the way we did when we first got saved. And you're going to see that's what happens here in a little bit in the life of the Shulamite bride. In other words, again, church, this is a journey. We have an experience. We're brought into it. Everything's brand new. We feel so alive. And yet sometime in the future, as we continue on with the Lord, we go into a phase that sometimes is described as a time of dryness. We don't have that same feeling of being alive. We don't have that same sense of closeness that we feel as we did when we first came to salvation. I'm going to show you how that's normal, how it's natural, how it happened in the Shulamite bride's life, and I'm going to show you what to do about it and why it's happening. But before we get to that part, let's just continue on in the text. The King has brought me into His chambers. God touched her. I mean, it was an intimate kiss of the Lord's love. She knew she was feeling the love of God. I mean, she knew she was loved. She had something in her heart that was so precious to her. I mean, it was so sacred. The King has brought me into His chambers, a private, sacred experience where she experienced the love of Hashem, the love of God. And what was her response to that? We will rejoice in you and be glad. I just want to point out here that sometimes we have to remind ourselves to be thankful for what God's done for us. Her response is, we will rejoice in you and be glad. Again, she's a shadow of you and I, and the Lord is trying to teach us how to respond to His love. Let me ask you, how many times has the Lord done a miracle in your life or my life? He's answered a prayer that we prayed for a long time. He did a miracle, or He answered a prayer, and we receive it, and you know what? We don't even stop to praise Him for it. We don't even stop to thank Him for it. Remember when Jesus healed 10 lepers? How many of the 10 lepers that He healed came back and returned to give Him thanks? Only one. Jesus said, where are the other nine? Weren't they healed also? I don't think that parable, beloved one, was something that was unique to those 10 lepers. I think Yeshua is showing us that's the nature of humanity. It's a picture of the world today. And so the Shulamite bride, when God answered her prayer and came and visited her and brought her into a beautiful, intimate experience of His love, she responded by saying, I'm going to rejoice in what You've done for me. I'm going to be grateful for what You've done for me. I'm going to be thankful for what You've done for me. And I'm going to be glad for what You've done for me. And the wake-up call, church, to you and I is, let's be thankful, let's be glad, let's give Him thanks, let's rejoice for what He's done for us over and over and over and over again. The Lord spoke to me not long ago, and I heard the audible voice of the Spirit, and He said to me this. He said, rejoice continuously, and you will overcome every obstacle. Rejoice continuously, and you will overcome every obstacle. You see, we're against, church, you and I, face such spiritual opposition in this world. There is such a force of darkness against us. It's not something that's visible all the time. Oftentimes, it's just in the supernatural, unseen realm. There is such a force of darkness pressing against us, such a force of oppression, such a force of gloom and doom that's in this world that you and I can sometimes be overwhelmed by that source of oppression and frustration coming from the realm of darkness, that we stop being grateful and we stop rejoicing. The enemy sometimes beats down so hard on us that we don't stop and look around at all the good things that are happening in our life. I recently heard the testimony, a true story, of a famous star. They were getting 50 million views on their YouTubes that they were putting out, selling out their albums, millions and millions all over the world. Everyone thought they were fantastic. And yet they said they focused on the two people that wrote about them and criticized them in the newspaper. Here they have millions and millions of fans adoring what they're doing. And yet instead of being able to rejoice in all the joy that they were bringing to the millions of people around the globe, instead, they found themselves focusing on the two critics that wrote something bad about them in the newspaper. The point is, beloved, is that you and I can be the same way. God can be doing all these things in our life, just like the Shulamite bride had this amazing experience with God, experiencing His love, touched by His love, feeling it. And she rejoiced in that. But sometimes you and I, God's doing all these things in our life. He's blessing us. He's answered a prayer. We've got our family. We've got our health. Whatever good things God's doing. I know that some of you are struggling at home and some of you are dealing with health problems. But I'm making the point that there's all these good things that God has done for us. We woke up this morning. We have breath. We can think. We don't deserve to be alive, right? I mean, every breath we take is a gift from God. We don't deserve to be here. All these good things that God has done, the food that we eat, we can taste it and get pleasure from it. Friends, neighbors, and yet instead of focusing on all the good things that are happening in our life, what happens sometimes? We focus on the negative things and we lead a lifestyle of being frustrated or angry or feeling oppressed or living in fear rather than living a lifestyle of being grateful, of being thankful, and of extolling His love. And the reason sometimes we make this mistake is because we're up against such powerful darkness. Paul told us in the book of Ephesians, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and forces of spiritual wickedness. It's not in what we see. So I want you to understand, you're in a fight. The devil does not want you to rejoice. The powers of darkness do not want you to be grateful. The powers of darkness do not want you to be thankful. But you and I have to be reminded that our response to God is to be thankful and to rejoice every day. Listen to what she said. We will rejoice in you and be glad. I want to encourage you to have a spirit of humility so you can thank God for the little things that He's doing in your life and not focus on the negatives. You see, the truth is, illustrated by this example. I asked a man, how are you doing today? And this particular man, he was struggling. He had a health challenge in his life. He was very limited financially. But whenever I asked him, how are you doing? He always said the same thing, better than I deserve. And that's true for you and I. We don't even deserve to be alive. And so we should be thankful for everything that the Lord is doing for us. And when you and I walk like the Shulamite bride was walking in, we will rejoice in you and be glad. When we lead a lifestyle of rejoicing, just like the Scriptures tell us, rejoice continuously. Scripture says rejoice. I say again, rejoice. When you and I focus on the positives, thank God for the good things, rejoice, we're going to have a spirit of gladness, a spirit of life, a spirit of laughter, a spirit of light. Beloved, it's going to carry us into the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord, the strength of God, comes from His joy. So let's choose joy. Again, we're learning how to walk in the Lord. The Shulamite bride's journey teaches us how to walk in God. Her journey is a journey into divine love. Let's continue on. She's brought into the king's chamber. She has this encounter. She rejoices. She's thankful. She doesn't take it for granted. She doesn't let it roll off her back like water off a duck's back. She seizes it. She said, thank you, Father, for doing this for me. I'm going to rejoice in it. I'm not going to forget it. I'm going to remember it, and I'm going to be glad. And Father, I worship you and I praise you. She says, we will extol your love more than wine. She made it a focus and a purpose. She gave it Kavanah, she gave it focus to praise Him. She said, I will extol your love more than wine. I want you to know, people that are praising Jesus, they're doing it because they're choosing to do it. They're doing it, beloved, because they're choosing to do it. Think about Job. Though he slay me, Job said, yet will I trust him. He decided he was going to praise God. He was going to be faithful to his Creator. He was going to be faithful to God, his Father. He was going to lead a life of exalting Jesus. He was going to lead a life putting Jesus on the throne. He was going to live in a way, you're beautiful to me, God. I love you, God. I trust you, Father. I might not understand what you're doing, but I trust your heart. Father, I praise you. I declare that Yeshua is at your right hand, that He is beautiful to me. I worship you, Father, and I will extol your love, and I'll glorify your Son more than anything else in this world. Amen and amen. And beloved, God, that spirit of power and that spirit of praise needs to be in our life. If we walk in praise, we have power. You know, the children of Israel, before they went into war, you know what they did? They praised. They lifted up the name of the Lord. They blew the trumpets. They called upon His name. They worshiped Him and they praised Him and they moved forward in glory. And that's what the Shulamite bride is doing here as she's journeying into divine love. She's being thankful. She's being grateful and she's praising Him. We will extol your love more than wine. I hope that the things that I'm sharing with you are not just words that roll off your back like water off a duck's back. Beloved, we have to make a decision to do these things. Make a decision when you wake up in the morning to realize that your life is a gift to you. You don't deserve anything. I don't deserve anything. Everything we have is a gift from God. What did we do to deserve to be created? We didn't do anything. Our life is a gift, and we should respond by thanking God. We should wake up in the morning, Father God, I praise you and I worship you. Even when you're struggling, you can be honest with God. He knows your struggles. Tell Him about your struggle. If you feel bad, you can tell Him you feel bad. But even underneath the spirit of oppression that you might be feeling, deep in your center, you can say, but Father God, I love you and I trust you and I thank you. This was the attitude of the Shulamite bride. Now, next week, what we're going to do is we're going to continue with the deep mystery here. I want you to join me and I want you to pray today before you go to sleep. And I want you to say, Father God, I pray that you will use this teaching from Rabbi Schneider in the Song of Songs to rewire my heart and my mind and to bring me into further alignment with your Son through the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for the word today. I thank you for sowing into my life. And Father God, I will be forever grateful to you, and I look forward to seeing you face to face.